match of my life. Life stories and greatest games.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, it was the stuff of dreams for Tranmere fans at the end of last season. They've been through the heartache of the year before, and finally, their entrance back into the Football League was confirmed. But it wasn't done the easy way. Far from that. So many hurdles, barriers to get over. But it led to a wonderful, wonderful story, which is chronicled in a new book by Matt Jones, our own Matt Jones from Radio City Talk. It's called Back Where We Belong. And of course, I suppose if you're a Tranmere fan and you're of a certain age, perhaps you've not experienced the highs which you would want to as a football fan. But finally, for this generation, there is a day and a bank of memories to store that simply will fill you with joy. Let's have a chat with Matt Jones about his match of my life. Morning, Matt.
Morning.
Back where we belong. Is that how it feels as a Tranmere fan of your age?
Yeah, I think so. Because no one had ever experienced Tranmere playing outside of the Football League. They've been there since 1921. So for them to be in the National League for 3 years was just a situation that no one could really at first get their head around. The teams that they were playing, the opposition, the tactics, the standard, the number of fans who would come to Prenton Park. You'd have like Boreham Wood bringing about 30 people to an away game, and it was just bizarre, and it felt like they needed to get out if they were ever going to move back towards where they deserve to be as a club.
Deserve to be, and it's interesting because, and I mentioned that word generation again, where do you perceive, or where did you perceive Tranmere were as a club for the last decade?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, so I've been watching them since 1995, and up until 2001, they were a Championship club. Then they spent 13 years in League One, and then they spent 1 year in League Two and had the two relegations in a row. So for my generation, I suppose you perceive them as a League One club. The generation before maybe perceive them as a Championship club, and then anyone before that looks at Tranmere and probably thinks of them as a real lower league club before the days of Johnny King and getting the promotion. So everyone maybe has a different perspective, but no one sees them as a non-league club.
Who were the contributors to this book? After Tranmere had achieved the impossible, it looked impossible at one stage, who did you turn to write this book? And why did you get the idea of chronicling what happened?
So I'd always wanted to do a book, and I'd always been kind of looking for a story that needed writing. And I felt that this, once it did happen, needed writing, because it wasn't just the promotion at Wembley. It's the 3 years in the National League, the whole journey and the restructuring that the club has been through over that time. And the fact that for anyone of my age or younger had never seen Tranmere win anything. So since 2000, they've been relegated three times. They'd only finished in the playoffs once. They'd never been to any kind of cup run since 2004. So it felt like there was a story there to tell in terms of success. So I spoke to Mark Palios, who, of course, is the chairman, Mickey Mellon, James Norwood, who scored the winner at Wembley, Gary Brabham as well, who was the first manager they had in non-league and was really interesting and gracious with his time. And then Ben Harrison from the Tranmere Trust as well.
So different perspectives there. Compare the euphoria of the 2000 Worthington Cup final to this promotion win.
It's very different. I was only 9 at Wembley, so it the kind of standout moments for me are Clint Hill getting sent off, Dave Kelly scoring and running behind the hoardings to celebrate with the Tranmere fans. But then 2 minutes later, as the Tranmere fans are singing, "You're not singing anymore," Matt Elliott rises and makes it 2-1. So, like, for someone who's probably 20 or over, that day, maybe a little bit prouder for them. A great day in my terms of watching.
Yeah, pride's
Tranmere.
Perhaps the word, isn't it? Yeah. Which are you more proud of as a Tranmere fan?
That one, the win at Wembley against Boreham Wood, because it was a win and it meant something. I think Ben Harrison says in the book, there were tears when Tranmere won against Boreham Wood, but there weren't tears against Bolton when they won at Wembley in 1991, because although it meant so much, everyone knew what the ramifications were of losing this game another year in non-league. Mickey Mellon said it after the game, it would have led to more people losing their jobs, it would have led to more cuts. And once you are in the National League for a certain length of time, you become part of the furniture. Just look down the road at Wrexham, who've been in it for over a decade now, and with each passing year, their challenge for promotion grows weaker and weaker and weaker. And Tranmere would, I think, found themselves in quite a similar situation. They would have been in their fourth season. They wouldn't have been as an attractive club as they were when they came down. They wouldn't have been seen as a giant who was sleeping, and it just would have been more difficult for them.
Right, let's put things into context then, because it wasn't their first attempt at getting up through the playoffs. So the book chronicles this, and of course you rewind to 2017, when you fully expected to do the job against Forest Green. What are the memories you were there?
So the Forest Green game was the first time Tranmere had played at Wembley in 17 years. It was the first time they'd been in the playoffs since 2005. And they obviously go on to lose. But people say to me, oh, that must have been a terrible day for you. It must have been horrible. I just think, no, it kind of wasn't. Because after 17 years, we were finally seeing Tranmere back in a major tournament. For myself, you know, I was living the dream because I was working at Wembley covering a Tranmere match. It couldn't have got better, bar the result. And unfortunately, the way things unfolded, they didn't have the team out that they wanted. They went into that final with eight players missing through injury, of which probably six would have been guaranteed starters. They didn't perform on the day. They lost a couple of players, one Lee Vaughan in the Southport game, which was the penultimate game of the regular season, and then James Wallace in the second leg of the playoffs. Both of them would have made such a difference in that game, because it just meant Mickey Mellon had to completely restructure his shape and who was playing where. And you kind of went into it feeling, I think it's one injury too many here.
Heading to Wembley that day?
That was my feeling, was if they'd had Wallace or Vaughan, I think it would just would have made a difference, because they had they'd been playing a 3-5-2 formation all year, which had been so successful, with Vaughan playing right wing back and Adam Buxton playing as the right centre half as such in the three. And just losing Vaughan meant that they had to go to 4-4-2 with Buxton playing as the right wing back, because they'd also lost Richie Sutton to an Achilles injury, so he would have played centre half, but they didn't have him fit to play. Losing Wallace meant that Andy Mangan had to play on the right wing instead of Connor Jennings, and Jennings had to play centre midfield. And as I think Mark Palios said in the book, Mangan had probably never played right wing in his life, and he had to spend 90 minutes there at Wembley. And it just all felt like it was a little bit too much for them. And they obviously went into it thinking they could win, and when Jennings scores the equaliser, there is so much hope and euphoria. And if you do look back on the game, there are chances throughout the match that if they take them would change it, but it just always looked a little bit too unshapely to me.
Crushed Tranmere fans afterwards. Let's hear your report on the day.
Tranmere's dreams of promotion have been ended by a 3-1 defeat here to Forest Green Rovers in the National League playoff final. A really poor day for Tranmere, and they're going to be spending another season outside of the Football League. They don't deserve it. They've been one of the best teams in the National League this year. That's why they finished second. But today, they weren't the best team. They were distinctly second best. Tactically, they weren't good enough. The long balls weren't good enough. Nothing they did worked on the afternoon apart from a stunning goal from Connor Jennings. It's a really sad way to end the season. If I look to my right, I can see the Tranmere fans, many of them just glumly looking on as they applaud their side off the pitch. It's been a horrible journey down to Wembley for them, because it's ended in another defeat.
Devastated Tranmere fans, devastated Matt Jones there as well. You can hear it in the tone, but actually you're describing the fact that they weren't good enough anyway to go up. But I think for Tranmere fans, when you lose at Wembley, you think, well, perhaps we won't get another chance in the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and quite a lot gets lost in the actual achievements of that season. Tranmere picked up 95 points over the course of the season, which is a club record, and for my money, is not going to be beaten in a long time, because you would, in the National League standard is so much poorer than the Football League. It would be so difficult to get that. So they picked up 95 points. They got so many wins. They went on like an incredible win, a run away from home. Beat Solihull 9-0, which was a club record margin for victory as well. But it all gets forgotten and lost in that one defeat. And they went into the next season as favourites to win the league. And it just put so much pressure on them. And they were in, I think they would all admit now, they were in such a bad way going into the new season because of the hangover from Wembley. And Mickey Mellon says it himself. He just felt so glum. He said, I went to a dark place that I never felt like I could ever go. And it just took me months and months and months to get out of it. And there was that hangover, and it affected them going into the next year.
Plenty more to come from Matt Jones on his brand new book, Back Where We Belong, charting Tranmere's return to the Football League. It's out now, and of course, it's a euphoric read. Well, a lot of it is, although some of it touches on some glum Tranmere moments.
Match of my life. Life stories and greatest games.
Radio City Talk.
Today's Match of My Life is all about Tranmere's return to the Football League. Back Where We Belong is a new book out charting the incredible year which has taken Tranmere to promotion for the first time in 27 years. A 2-1 win over Boreham Wood. Matt Jones is the author of it. Let's just talk about Mickey Mellon first of all, and perhaps the trauma or the effects of not getting promotion first time, because he was quite candid with you. He opened his heart emotionally on a variety of levels. How did he personally find it when Tranmere didn't make their way past Forest Green the first time?
Yeah, amazingly tough, because if you look at what Mickey had come from, he'd been in a League One club 8 months before that playoff final. He was manager of Shrewsbury. He'd taken them to promotion the previous season. Yeah, they were struggling in League One, but he didn't have to make that step down to the National League. He could have, I'm sure, if he got sacked by Shrewsbury, which may or may not have happened, I'm sure he would have been able to find a League Two club. But he had an association with Tranmere, having played with them twice as a player and captained them under Brian Little, where he wanted to come back. And as he says to me in the book, he saw a club there that when he was in his playing days, they were at their glass ceiling. They were playing at the Championship and they couldn't really get any bigger at that time because of the money and all that was in the game. When he came back as a National League club, he saw a club who could feasibly be guided to two or three promotions, and it was up to him to do that. And when they go into that playoff final, we've talked about the injuries that are missing, but there was still kind of an expectation because of how they'd finished the season, how they'd hammered Aldershot in the playoffs, and just expected to carry on that form at Wembley despite all the players they had missing. So for them to lose and not play as well as they perhaps could have done, he took it really hard. And there's a bit in the book where he says it was the worst coach journey I've ever had in my life. There were people just sitting there. The lights weren't on for the entire journey back from London. Nobody spoke a word to each other. And he admits it was probably a little bit unhealthy. And he says there are things that happened that summer where we punished ourselves because we believed we deserved punishing. And if that ever happened, if we were to ever lose a game like that again, I would never let it happen, because it did affect them going into the next year. And
do you believe he considered ever giving up the job at that point?
I don't think he would, no, because Mickey is a really determined character. He's a great person to deal with from a media point of view, and the players love him as well. They really do love him. And I think he believed in his ability to achieve it. Maybe at the start of the next season, it could possibly, other chairmen might have taken that out of his hands because of how poorly they started. But there are things that he does and the way he reacts to certain situations that you maybe look back on now and go, ah, that's where he was feeling like that after what had happened at Forest Green. And that's maybe why he did that, made that substitution or did that, because it was still affecting him.
So last season, Tranmere were probably under more pressure than any other side to achieve promotion. And that pressure perhaps stems from the history and, of course, some of the glory days and the brilliant stuff achieved by not just Johnny King, but other people who've been at the club as well. But I think Johnny epitomised an awful lot about Tranmere Rovers, and you've written a chapter about him.
Yeah, sadly, Johnny passed away during Tranmere's first season down in the National League. So the book kind of chronicles the full three years they were down there. And Johnny was an integral part of the club going forward. He made them what they were before they got relegated to the National League. It was him who got them into the Championship, or Division 2 as it was then, in the first place. And unfortunately, he did pass away a couple of days before they played Welling at home in April 2016. And if you look at that game, there was so much expectation going into it, not just because Tranmere were playing Welling, who were a part-time team who Tranmere had never dreamed of playing, but also because the fans expected the players to deliver a performance for him. And they didn't. They were absolutely woeful. Most will say it was the worst performance they ever saw from a Tranmere side. The players on show that day probably bottled the situation, but then when you speak to Gary Bravin about it, he says some of them probably didn't even know who he was, Johnny King, and that's quite a sad situation for them to be in, because there were quite a lot of local players that day, but they were awful, and that game ultimately probably cost them a place in the playoffs that season as well. They missed out by a couple of points. But yeah, there's an interview that
importantly, that Johnny's legacy
exactly
does need to be remembered by a younger generation, yeah, and an older generation.
Yeah, so I went back to an interview I did with Ray Mathias just a couple of days before Johnny's funeral and put a bit of that in the book. Told a few of the stories of one, for example, where he had Dave Higgins heading cushions in a corridor of a hotel in Italy because he had a neck injury before an Anglo-Italian Cup game. Sean Garner, he was throwing sticks into the Mersey and making him go in and get them because he believed that the cold water would help heal his injuries, muscle injuries and things like that. So I just wanted to kind of, he left a mark and it deserved talking about that, and that was why I decided it needed to go in.
Right, let's take ourselves to the day of the big game. So this is what the book's all about. And actually, people will reflect on all elements of this. For Tranmere fans who went down there, they'll have their own different stories. You must have spoken to hundreds, mustn't you, who've given a different perspective on it. There's people who simply stayed at home and watched it on the telly. Where do you really pick up the story in the book of the day itself, the playoff final day?
So we go through all the playoff semi-final against Ebbsfleet, and that was just a remarkable game in itself because it was so topsy-turvy and mentally draining just to watch it, let alone playing it. But then we kind of get to the day of Wembley, and at the back of the book I've got monologues from some of the players who were involved, what it was like in the morning, what it was like in the day, and as things were unfolding on the pitch. And it did feel really, really different to a year before. So the year before, just getting to Wembley felt like an achievement to be celebrated because it had been so long since Tranmere had been there. And I think probably not just the fans, I think the players would admit it, they overreacted themselves just to get into Wembley and maybe thought the job was done just getting to the Forest Green game. This time, there was none of that. So the year before, 2017, they go down for a Sunday night game on the Friday, which they never do for an away game. They went to Wembley and did a tour of it on the Saturday. They went and watched the Women's FA Cup final on the Saturday. This year, they went down on the Friday night, as they would normally do for an away game, for the game on the Saturday, and just treated it like a normal occasion. There was none of the fanfare. It was just a case of, this is business. We have got to win this game after what happened last year. And Scott Davis talks about that quite a lot in the book. So does James Norwood.
Those monologues are from, as you say, James Norwood. Liam Rydow's in there as well. We'll get on to his influence of the game in a moment too. Scott Davis. They all portray a very relaxed atmosphere.
Yeah, it was like, I think Scott says, you know, the morning of the game, we just went to the cafe that was by, I think it was Costa, that's by Wembley Stadium, and we just had a coffee and spoke to a couple of the fans beforehand and just really just showed that they were relaxed, and they weren't getting themselves all het up for it like they probably were the year before. They weren't going on the pitch and taking selfies and doing stuff. It just felt like they knew that if they lost this game, there would be serious consequences that they weren't the year before. And that helped focus them. And it meant they weren't bringing out all kinds of merchandise which said Wembley 2018 on it or playoff final. They were just treating it like a normal game. And then that probably helped.
Let's talk about some individual experiences. So Connor Jennings, who took ill on the Friday, the day before the final game of the season against Hartlepool. And it wasn't just a one-day illness.
No, so the game against Hartlepool, a few days before, Tranmere played Solihull in their penultimate league game, and they had rested their entire first team squad to keep everyone fresh. But Mickey Mellon then brought them back for the Hartlepool game, all bar Jennings. And no one really quite got to the bottom of where he was. Mickey just said he's very ill, and hopefully we'll be able to get him involved further down the line. And it transpires that Connor was in hospital and he was being treated for meningitis. And there were concerns that he wouldn't play football again. He was on a drip 10 days before the playoff final. He only comes out of hospital 10 days before the playoff final, somehow manages to recover his energy and his fitness, doesn't play the Ebbsfleet game, but is in the squad for the Boreham Wood game. And it's just such a boost to have him back, because having been through all that, he was so determined. And there's a lovely extract from Mickey Mellon where he says, "I had a chat with Connor's mum, Debbie, and his brother, James, who plays for Wrexham. And I said to them, I won't play him if he's not ready." And then after about 30 minutes, Connor's getting off the bench and getting ready to come on. And Mickey just says, "Debbie's probably looking at me and thinking I've got Alzheimer's."
Completely forgotten the conversation. Reflect on what some of the players are thinking when they're starting the game and their expectations. So in the book, you've obviously got the manager who's given a pre-match team talk, a team talk that's soon to go out of the window.
Yeah, so Liam actually is the one who I think is most interesting before the game, because if you go back to Forest Green a year earlier, Liam makes a major error in the build-up to the third goal. He basically treads on the ball in the penalty area and it allows Forest Green to score their third. And he says that in the tunnel beforehand, "I'm just thinking I need to make up for last year. I need to get out of the starting blocks. I need to be firing them well." And after 48 seconds, he goes and smashes through Ricky Shakes and gets a straight red card. And he's thinking, he wanted to leave his mark on the game, and sadly he did.
So he's fired up Liam Rydow.
Yeah. And Mickey Mellon's obviously saying to them before, and you can, you know, just do your normal game. Every team talk is the same from Mickey, basically. If we play the way that I know you can, then we'll win it. But Liam is just so into it. He's just got so much adrenaline running through his veins because he wants to atone for the year before, that he goes and sadly makes that big tackle in the 48th second and gets sent off.
Quickest sending off in a... a Wembley appearance, is it?
It's certainly at the new Wembley. I'm not sure if it is of all time, but certainly since Wembley reopened in the mid-2000s, that is the fastest sending off.
Does he struggle to talk about it still?
Not at all. No. He talks quite candidly. He says he was just walking off the pitch. Eric Nixon puts his arm around his shoulder and he's just sitting there thinking, what have I done? What have I done? And Connor Jennings runs down the tunnel and comes to the dressing room and just puts an arm around him and says, look, we're still going to do this. We're still going to win it. And he's still sitting there, Liam, when Andy Cook scores the opener after about 7 minutes. And the coach driver, John, runs into the change room and says, Liam, we're 1-0 up, we're 1-0 up. And Liam's sitting there going, don't believe you, don't believe you. And he was quite prepared to just sit in that dressing room for the rest of the day and not come back out and watch. But because the coach driver came down and said to him, you know, we're 1-0 up, come on, you've got to come watch, you've got to come watch. He decided to go and sit on the balcony and watch it. But it just shows like he felt that he'd let everyone down. And in reality, actually, if he hadn't got sent off, the story wouldn't be quite as amazing as what it is.
Yeah, the story is utterly remarkable, isn't it? It goes down as one of the best or most dramatic games of the season. As a Tranmere fan inside that stadium, and obviously it's very hard to make it feel like you've made any impression on the stadium with the number of fans you're taking, but you must have felt like you had a greater well of support than the opposition.
So the year before, Forest Green took 3,000 fans. I'd be surprised if Boreham Wood took anywhere like that. Tranmere took about 12,000 to 14,000 the year before, and it's slightly down on that in 2018. But after 60 minutes, when it's 1-1, and Tranmere have got 10 men, they've got no substitutes left to make, and their backs are beginning to go against the wall. Boreham Wood are just firing long ball after long ball in. Jay Harris puts in this huge tackle near the corner flag, and the Tranmere fans all just rise, and for the next half an hour, they do not stop. There is just constant wall of noise, and there's only 10,000 of them. But Ben Harrison, when he's speaking in the book, says he's spoken to Spurs fans who have said they've played at Wembley for a full season and they've never heard noise like it. Just 10,000 of them on it for 30 minutes, and they lift those players, and Norwood speaks about it, and he says he's watched the game back hundreds of times. And when they get to that Harris tackle, he's got to turn the TV down in his house because he thinks he's going to wake the whole neighbourhood up because the crowds just make so much noise. And it does make a difference. I personally have never seen a crowd have an influence on a result like they did that day.
It should have been the 12th man. It was the 11th man, exactly. Given Tranmere only had 10 men on the pitch. One of the best bits of the book is the halftime team talk, because it sort of raises the hair on the back of your neck. How does Mickey Mellon deal with the situation of 10 men against this Boreham Wood side? And there's some brilliant stuff in there.
So for 7 days before the final, Mickey Mellon had just been focusing on saying, there are 107 steps at Wembley Stadium and you will be going up there. No matter what happens, no matter what gets thrown at you during this match, there are 107 steps and you will be going up there to lift the trophy and get promoted back to the Football League. He gets in at half-time. Tranmere down to 10 men, having had Liam Ridehouse sent off in the 48th second. They've made three substitutes, including their key centre-half, Richie Sutton, who's just done his Achilles, and he's had to come off in first-half injury time. And then, in the 6th minute of added time, Boreham would have equalised to make it 1-1. And that kind of saps, any footballer, I'm sure, would say, that just saps the life and momentum out of you. You feel there that your chance is gone. And he gets into the dressing room, and the players are beginning to argue about who should do what, who should have been where, whose fault the goal was. And he just sits them down and says, just shut up. Not interested in what any of you have to say. You have the chance here to write yourself into club history. There has been 27 years since a promotion. There are 10 men of you on that pitch. If you go and win this game, you will be legends for a lifetime. You will be coming back to Prenton Park with your kids and with your grandkids, and people will be turning to you and saying, you are the people who got Tranmere back into the Football League in 2018. When you go back out up that tunnel, turn round, look, there are 107 steps. You will be going up there at the end of this game, I can guarantee it. And he said, they just went.
And they did it. And this was your reaction.
And Tranmere are returning to the Football League, Al. A 2-1 win against all the odds here, against Boreham Wood at Wembley. They had 10 men for 89 minutes, but they somehow came through. Andy Cook gave his side the lead in just the 7th minute, heading home from James Norwood's cross, and an equaliser just before half time seems to kill Tranmere off. Bruno Andrade nesting from near the penalty spot. But Rovers, a titanic performance. They came through with James Norwood netting the winner. A Connor Jennings cross, lofted from the right. Jennings got his head to it, and the keeper could not keep it out. It's a brilliant 2-1 victory for Tranmere. A famous one. These players have written themselves into Tranmere history. Tranmere football and just look and listen to the scenes behind me. Mickey Mellon fist pumping the crowd, players running all over the pitch, and the Super White Army all around me are just chanting. They're on their feet, they're clapping. They have waited 27 years for this day, 27 years for a Tranmere promotion, and after 3 years in non-league, they are back in the Football League.
You're on the brink of losing your journalistic licence there and into fan mode as well. What did you do at full-time?
Well, first of all, so about 20 minutes before the end, the internet connection in the stadium goes down. So our box that we're doing our broadcasting from breaks, and I have to do everything down the phone line, which is not ideal. But when Norwood scores the goal, the only way I can describe it is by saying, like, there are moments in your life when something happens that is so good that your brain just switches off. And after about 10 seconds after Norwood scored, I realised I was standing on the seats in the press box. And then you just kind of, for 10 minutes, you're just like in this strange state of delirium and wanting it to end as quickly as possible, but wanting to enjoy the moment as well, because it has been so enjoyable and so intense that you just want it to carry on. But it was just unbelievable. It really was.
And this song sort of sums it up for you. Was this what you listened to on the way home?
So this is the song that they played when they were lifting the trophy, which is bizarre, because if you look at the lyrics of it, it's the lyrics of feeling a moment slip away. But as Tranmere lifted the trophy, this was the song by Feeder.
What a strange, strange choice. But of course, it's all in the memory bank now. It's a brilliant book, Back Where We Belong, How Tranmere Returned to the Football League. The moment didn't slip away for them. James Norwood in particular, writing himself into folklore. People can still get hold of this?
Yeah, so you can go down to the Tranmere Rovers Club shop. It's available from there. You can search for it on Amazon, Back Where You Belong, or alternatively, go to my website, mattjones90.wordpress.com. And if you order it on there through PayPal, I'll get it posted out to you as soon as possible.
A sensational book chronicling an unbelievable story. Tranmere's promotion for the first time in 27 years after that 2-1 win over Boreham Wood, but with 10 men as well. Matt Jones, thank you very much indeed. That was Match of My Life.
Radio City Talk.
Match of My Life. Sport's greatest moments.